The Lord be with you. Hear the good news of Jesus Christ according to Mark, the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. Glory to you, Jesus Christ. The introduction. Both Isaiah and Malachi prophesied that before the Messiah comes, at the end of the era, a prophet will come to prepare the way for him. Now the awaited prophet arrives on the scene and ushers in the new era. The reading of the Holy Gospel. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole of the Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of Christ. Now we're going to stop the sharing of the screen, and I'm going to share so I can see all of you today, trying it in a new way. So today is Peace Sunday, and this is the second Sunday of Advent, and it's kind of interesting that on this Peace Sunday, we are considering how we build a sustainable peace. And a sustainable peace is from both the exterior world and also the interior world. And it's important that we bring an attitude of peacefulness to our lives. For that's how we build the peace. It's not just having a big, strong army, but it really has to come from us in the world and everybody else in the world. We have to work, and the Christian call is that we are all called to be peacemakers. It's a peaceful mindset. And the peaceful mindset can start with ourselves, with the assurance that God loves us, that you are not alone, that you are not rejected, that you are not an outcast, nor am I, that despite all our weaknesses, despite all our problems, despite all the stupid things we may do, we are included. We are people that are loved. And the energy that helps us to become peaceful and propels us to have a peaceful mindset that we are loved is the sense of hope. And I spoke a little bit about hope last week, but I want to build on this idea of hope, because hope is the key to building peace. Peace is the way to find joy. Joy is the way to find peace and joy and hope together, find love. And love is the essence of Jesus. It is the essence of God within us. And so it is in this way that hope is very much a key to moving forward. Now, we're living in a tough time. We know how difficult it is for ourselves and for our families and for other citizens with what's going on with COVID-19. It seems bleak. I've entertained calls from folks who are really suffering with this whole period of time, this dark time and the time with COVID. But this is nothing. This is just a simple prelude to what's coming ahead of us with climate change if we don't get our acts involved. like it or not, believe it or not, this is nothing. This is going to seem like a walk in the park compared to what's ahead, unless we get our acts in gear as a worldwide population and stop the degradation of the climate. It almost seems hopeless, but there is a way to have real hope. Now, there's two types of hope, and I think it's important to separate out the two types of hope. There's magical hope, and there's real hope. And we as Christians and clergy, I'll put myself in that school, I think in the past, though I've always tried to resist it, the church has often offered magical hope. Because we have magical thinking and we look at the scripture and the miracles and say, oh, this and that and the other thing, look what Jesus did. So if we have enough faith, and I've heard clergy say, if you have enough faith, this will happen. And then it doesn't happen. The person is then defeated and feels down because somehow they thought they weren't good enough. And so we make the victim, we victimize the victim by putting it on the victim that they weren't good enough to get the magic. Well, that is wrong. Wrong. And there's no magic thinking. There's no magical hope. We are living in the age of miracles right now because science, working with dedicated people who have a vision of healing, they are bringing the magic. I mean, I look at myself as a about to be 76-year-old. I have cataract lenses put in, so I see 20/20, even though I need some glasses. I have hearing aids, so I hear better. I've got a couple of teeth that are implanted. So, I mean, I'm living in an age of miracles. Science has told me you got to not eat sugar because sugar is an inflammatory, and so inflammatory gives you rheumatism. So we are living in the age of miracles, and we all are. We're about to start receiving the vaccine against COVID-19. It's a miracle that they did it in a year. But the miracles that are in the scripture are really a means of trying to communicate that with God, all things are possible. That with God, God is love. In God, there is peace. Excuse me. In God, there is joy. In God, there is hope. And so don't give up. And that we work together and solutions are found. But sadly, in our own culture today, there's really this magical thinking that is often associated with Christian belief. And it's not just for everybody involved. And people often lose faith. They pray hard about the people who are starving, and the people still starve, and the famine continues, and they think, well, there is no God. But there is hope and there is God. And God is within us, and we are in God. And we have to now start changing the Christian message to be one that's real. And to start having real hope, not magical hope. And real hope comes from ourselves, not from the sagas that we're trying to convey a message from the past. And I want to spend a little time about looking at real hope this morning. Now, I've got 19 pages here of notes, so I've got to calm them down a little bit. But the idea is that we're all included in God's love. And that's the first understanding of what real hope is, that none of us are outside of God's love. We are all good. We are all one with God. And we should see ourselves one with each other, that there's a sense of wholeness. And so we have to work together in this sense of wholeness and in love and in confidence for change. Now, some of us, not all of us, but some of us are old enough to remember the year 1957, 1956. Now, do you remember the great concern about the testing of nuclear weapons? and there was this big push to have a test ban. And there was somebody in California started the Mother's March for Safe Milk and the Mother's March Against Nuclear Testing. Do you remember that? And maybe as you were a kid, you heard about strontium-90 in the milk and everybody being really anxious. And I see some people nodding their heads. The woman who got that going was a woman by the name of Stephanie May. And Stephanie May had a young daughter, her name was Elizabeth. And Stephanie May worked really hard of getting a coalition, and it grew across the world, to pressure the politicians to stop the nuclear testing. Now, I lived on a farm, and the nearest town to us was a little place called Knowlton. I lived in a hamlet, or what we call the village. And my mother got so enthused about this need to have making sure that we had good milk that she got my father to drag my brother and I and herself to Knowlton to join the Mother's March Against Nuclear Testing. And we were out there, and I can remember the day well. It was sort of a hot day, and my brother and I were a little bit bored because we were standing and walking around on pavement, and our mothers were holding up signs and stuff in front of the office of the MP for the Parliament for Bromassisqua in Quebec, a guy by the name of Heward Grafferty. And those of you who have a long knowledge of conservative politics may have heard of Heward. But anyway, we were out in front of his office asking him to, I think, the Diefenbaker government to stand up against nuclear testing. Well, that animated my mother as an involved politician, or involving politicians. Who was the daughter of Stephanie May? Elizabeth May, who was up until recently the head of the Green Party of Canada. And they came to Canada. Stephanie moved her children, and they came to Cape Breton, to the Margaree Valley in the early 70s, same time actually that I was in Port Hawkesbury in Cape Breton. But there was a movement, and they had an impact. And there was hope by people engagement. And I take time to share that with you because it's so important. And that is so important to ourselves, not just watch what's going on, but to be involved. To go to our members of parliament and say to them, we want work done on climate change. We want work because we're a Christian people and we're working a coalition with everybody else because we want change. And if we don't do that, then we're not living up to the promise of hope that Jesus brings. False hope kills the soul. There was a French philosopher once said, hope is for the soul what breathing is for the living organism. Hope is for the soul what breathing is for the living organism. We are agents of hope, all of us, in love, in peacefulness, and in joyfulness. We are also the agents of hope, which builds all these end products. So as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we celebrate the sense of God's love for us, we are now called to bring this message forward. We are called to be honest and to bring honest hope. How do we do that? How do we respond in honest ways? Well, first of all, when we're talking about hope to anybody, to ourselves, to our family members, it is very important to remember there are no magic solutions. If anybody comes to you and saying, you come to my church and there's a magic here and that, you know, there's an old joke. I know it's a bad joke, but I'll share it anyway. There was this faith preacher, and this person came to their meeting, and the preacher said to him, climb that ladder. And the guy came up, and he had his crutches with him, and he climbed the ladder, and he said he was expecting a miracle. So the preacher said, throw away your crutches. And he threw away his crutches, and he fell off the ladder, and he hit the ground. And the guy looked at him all bruised and on the ground. He says, I thought you were going to give me a miracle. And the guy said, I did. It's a miracle you weren't killed. But it's important that we don't offer false hope. As Christians, we have to be real. I've often been asked to have a prayer and then to say to the family that's in desperate shape to promise that Jesus will heal this person. I can't do that. That's not real. And so you have to talk to the family about we all work together. There is power in prayer. There's a whole idea of the vibration that I talked about earlier in the year that we know from quantum physics. So when we pray together, there is a vibration that joins the energy. But there's no magic. We must build coalitions, just as Stephanie May built a coalition around the globe who got in the mid-50s the nuclear test ban treaty going in. We have to build a coalition today with people around us. Wherever you are, talk it up that climate change is real. We must work together, just as we're trying to work together for COVID, though you can see by the masking it's not always easy. It's going to be the same kind of trial with climate change, but we have to work together. We have to get beyond our old boundaries and frameworks. I wish it was like it was back in the 50s. I mean, who knew? You could hear the birds sing. I could see bluebirds flying around the meadows on the farm I grew up on. And a lot of that's gone away now. But if we just stand back and grieve like Job's wife, we will turn to a pillar of stone. We have to look forward with all the warts and incumbencies that we have. We still have to move forward, and we move forward together in hope. Hope is built like a jigsaw, piece by piece. There's no magic solution. But if we work together and we encourage others to work with us and to join in the work together, there is hope that we can solve the problem. Real hope, which is what Christian hope is based on, is always uncertain and is hard fought. It's not easy. We have to be prepared to roll up our sleeves and get going. We must have a real goal, a clear-eyed realism. If a politician gives you a mushy answer, challenge them and say, we want real, we don't want fluff. We want real goals done that can be really achieved and that together we'll really achieve it. No more fluff. No more promises. We want the hard stuff. Because we, in working in hope, we want to make sure that our great-grandchildren, when they're 90 years old, have a world for their child and grandchild to live in. And the way we're going now, we're going to be an extinct species unless we change. There's another insight on the word hope that I want to share with you. When our language, and I want you to start listening for this, people talk about hope. Do they say, I hope that, and then blah, blah, blah? Or they say, I hope to, blah, 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 blah. So hope that is usually followed by an adjective or an adverb. There's nothing definite. But hope to is always followed by a verb. I hope to eat dinner tonight. You know, I hope that I will lose 70 pounds in the next 2 months. That's nothing, you know. It's not real hope. But hope to is very important. It's a definite. So ask your politicians, what do you hope to do? What is your hope to do? And if they give you a hope that, say, no, I don't want that hope that. I want a hope to. Jesus promises, and we know that God loves us, and that we have confidence because we know we are a people who are loved. And it's in that spirit that we can demand a hope too from those around us as we work together building a coalition. We have to be participants as opposed to spectators. Hope and building peace and building joy and building love is not a spectator sport. That's left to football on Sunday afternoon. No, we are hoping to, and it's an active verb. So today, as we are the people of God on a journey together, we hope to build community with our neighbors, no matter what their faith, no matter what their non-faith is, to work at protecting the climate and the earth that God gave us to be stewards of. We must be involved. And I pray that as the people of God, as we journey together, we will pick up this torch and work to build real hope, being lights in the darkness, as these candles remind us that we are called to be. May God bless us all. Amen.